The gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all had a different perspective of Christ. Matthew saw him as king and as fulfillment of Scripture. But John saw Christ as deity. He saw him as the God-man. He saw him as the Messiah and Christ, God in the flesh. And so tonight, quickly, I want to talk about putting your sights on Jesus. Putting your sights on Jesus. And we're going to end the service a little bit differently tonight. Because we need to glorify God. Amen. We need to praise Him. We need to get a clear picture of who Christ is. So, John had a unique opportunity. He was one of the originals. And so he had eyewitness accounts of Christ. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says this. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our what? Eyes. Which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life." Think about that for a second. Think about what a privilege it must have been walking with Jesus Christ in the flesh. Think about what it would be to see all those things firsthand. To hear God speak to you and touch you. You could reach out and to touch Him. What a remarkable scene that must have been. What a remarkable experience that must have been. And it says, "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us." See, there's a key in there. Those who have been saved have eternal life, and God's manifested to us through His Word. But now we have the privilege of having a relationship with Him. In the Gospel of John, a very quoted scripture here is that, "And the Word was made flesh." Jesus was God the Father. We know from Isaiah, He's the everlasting Father. He's the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. He's wonderful counselor. He's all those things. "But the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You know, sometimes when we come to church, we often forget that we are being able to behold His glory. We could hear His truth. We could see the Spirit move. We can allow it to change our lives. See, John had an eyewitness perspective. And when you have an eyewitness perspective, you ought to listen to it. But you know something? We need to provide that perspective to others. We allow other people to see us and see the change that God has made in us. And they are eyewitness accounts of what we were and now who we are. And they should see the difference. No one can deny what you see with your own eyes. It's there. You can't deny it. The Pharisees tried it, but they couldn't do it. Pilate tried to sweep it under the rug, but it couldn't happen. You can't hide the truth. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to what? Every man." Talking about the church and talking about us working together as members of one body. To what? Profit with all. See, the issue is that everything that we do should benefit not just us, but it should glorify God and benefit the church. It should allow Christ to be preached to a lost and dying world. And people will see the change in us and they'll want that too. You know, that's the greatest advertising is what? Word of mouth. Word of mouth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10, Paul writes about this. He says, always bearing about in his body the what? The dying of the Lord Jesus. And here's the key. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in what? Our body. This morning we talked about the time is now. The time is now to be saved. The time is now to act saved. The time is now to decide. The time is now for people to see Christ in us. It should have been from the moment we got saved. So I want to point out four things that John personally witnessed. Each one of them has a characteristic that we need to follow. The first one was John was an eyewitness account of the transfiguration, along with Peter and along with James. In Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 8, it says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. Wouldn't it be nice to be alone with God? And he was transfigured or changed before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth could white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. See, it's good to see Christ. When's a good time to see Christ? All the time. It's good for us to be here and to let us and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. We all know that story. Peter often thinks without engaging his brain. I'm guilty of that too. But it says, for he wist not what to say, for they were so afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. Hear him. And suddenly when they had looked around about, they saw no man anymore save Jesus only with themselves. See, they saw Jesus change from a fleshly body into a glorified body. Probably what we're going to be changed into also. And see, what we do, what the point here is that we need to experience God's glory at this present time. Do you look for Jesus in the morning? Do you look for him during the day? Do you read his word? Do you hear what he has to say? See, he says he'll never leave us nor forsake. He says, lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. See, Peter, James, and John got firsthand of who they were really dealing with. And see, I think we need to understand that we are dealing with the God creator of the universe, the power of all the universe, what holds everything together. And they got to see him transfigured. We get to read about it here, an eyewitness account of this. But folks, what that should do is it should motivate us to experience God's Christ glory in the present time. But in order to experience Christ's glory, we need to listen and hear the one who's glorified. And the point is, are we listening? Now, this morning we talked about act saved, and don't be distracted. There are so many things going on in the world. Take time apart and just meditate on God. Take time apart and look beyond the physical into the spiritual and see what lessons Christ has for us today. See, it's there. Let Christ be changed from the picture that's probably not anywhere close to what he looks like to who he really is, because we do know his character. We do know his attributes from reading his word. So the point is, we need to experience Christ's glory in the present, now. Now is the time to experience his glory. Not in the future, not on your schedule, not when you want it to happen, but now. Let him work in your life. Let him show himself strong in your life. But you need to hear him. John was the only disciple at the foot of the cross. See, in order to get a clear picture of who God is and who Christ was, you've got to make an effort to be with him. You've got to make an effort when everybody else goes away, say, I am not going to be moved. Like Joshua, when Moses went up the mountain, Joshua's at the foot of the mountain, he's waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting to see what's going to happen. Folks, are you waiting to see what God's going to do in our lives? But John was present at the crucifixion. In John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27, it says, Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. Guys, this puts us to shame. Where were the men? Where were the believing men? They weren't there with the exception of John. Verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, that's John, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, Hold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. See, what we need to do from what John saw at the cross is we need to understand and know what God has done in the past. See, what Christ has done in the past for us is he's taking our past away. Think about that. We're a new creature. Old things passed away. All things become new. He died for the sins of the whole world. And we need to know what God has done in the past. And he's done it for us. See, I think too often we read the Bible like a book. Too often we look at a church service, maybe like a TV program, and say, oh, that's interesting. And it doesn't change you. It doesn't impact us. Folks, the crucifixion, that picture on the cross of everybody mocking him, you should have that in your mind. That's what God's love has done for you and for me. See, we all talked about God being high and lifted up. But he came down and he humbled himself as a man. But then he showed his disciples who he really was. And now on the cross, he shows us what he really did. And I think that really needs to come and sink down into our hearts. Because if we understand that it's our sin that put him on the cross, we should want to sin less. We should want to live a holy life. Not that it would really change anything, but it make us appreciative of what the sacrifice that Christ did for us. See, we need to leave our past behind and serve now. See, there's a service thing in here. It's a lifetime of service. See, when Christ was on the cross, he looks down, he sees his mother there. He says, John, you take care of my mom. You take care of my earthly mother. And what happens here? In verse 27, it says, Then saith he to the disciple, Hold, and from that hour, from right then, see, now it's the time to serve. Yeah. Now it's the time to make a difference in someone else's life. Now is the time to obey Christ. From that hour, that disciple took her into his what? Own home. Folks, we should have Christ in our home. And we should welcome anyone who follows Christ and His disciple and saved into our home with open arms. Because Christ died for all. We're all just sinners saved by grace. So John sees the transfigured Christ. John sees the crucified Christ. And then John sees the resurrected Christ. He and Peter were the first two disciples that went and saw that the tomb was empty. He was there when Christ appeared in the upper room where they were all hiding out of fear of the Jews. But remember, not all of them were there. Thomas was not there. See, what we also need to be, was we need to be in the right place at the right time. And when you're following God's directions, I guarantee you will be. In John chapter 21, verses 19 and 20, it says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week," talking about Resurrection Sunday, "when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for what? Fear of the Jews." Remember our memory verse? "Peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Peace, my peace I leave with you." And look at what it says. "Came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." See, the only way that we could have peace with God is for God to send His Son in the flesh to make peace on the cross. The only way that we could have peace with God is that Christ rose again. In verse 20 it says, "And when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side." See, they got a preview of what Zechariah says. They will look on Him whom they pierced. Everyone from the beginning of time into the future will have to acknowledge who Jesus Christ was. When Christ comes back and He rules in Jerusalem, you know what He's going to have on His forehead? He's going to have form prints. What's He going to have in His hands? He's going to have nail prints. And on His feet, nail prints. We're going to see that. We're going to see that. You know why? Because John saw that in Revelation. See, what makes our belief and our faith different from every other religion and faith is we need to understand and we know that Jesus Christ is alive. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today, no matter what men may say. See, all the other men's religions, there's some dead dude in a tomb someplace. But there's only an empty tomb for Christ. Death could not hold Him. The grave could not contain Him. He's alive. And He makes us alive. And we ought to live for Him. Folks, knowing that we serve a resurrected Savior should make us alive in our faith. It should make us different. We need to understand that Christ is alive. And we need to appropriate that resurrection power. See, Paul met the resurrected Christ on the Damascus Road. And Paul goes out on the missionary journey. And then he goes and he writes in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, he says, "That I may know Him." Don't know about Him as a fact. Know about Him in a relationship. Know about Him as a life changer. Know about Him. He's a game changer in your life. "That I may know Him and the" what? "The power of His resurrection." See, if Christ did not raise, we'd all be in a world of hurt right now. Everything we would be doing is vain. I'm sorry. He's not on the cross now, as some people wear Him around the neck. He's off the cross. There is no tomb. It's empty. that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. See, we're buried with him by baptism of death, that like as Christ was raised to the glory of God, even so we should also walk in newness of what? Life. So John saw him at the transfiguration. He saw Christ's glory in the present. And he heard God say, "Listen to my son." He saw him on the crucifixion. He understood what Christ was doing and immediately started to serve. He saw the resurrected Christ. And we need to understand also that Christ is alive. How come a lot of Christians today, we go around looking as our faith is dead? It's not dead. It should not be dead. And then lastly, John saw Christ in the revelation. Think about this. He was the only apostle that saw all of the panorama of God's plan. He saw it all. Peter writes about it, but John saw every bit of it. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 19, it says, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks," oh, by the way, they were churches. Christ is here tonight. He's standing in the middle of our church tonight. "And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength." Ever try to look at the sun? Don't advise it. It's bright, isn't it? Can you get this picture? "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as what? Dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me," here we go. See, when you're where God wants to be, you to be, you'll be in God's presence and you have nothing to fear. You'll see some amazing sights. You'll do some amazing things. Things that you didn't think of possible. He says, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that" what? Everybody say it. "Liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore." And everybody said, "Amen." "And hath the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." See, what we need to understand is we need to see Christ in his heavenly glory. You know, Isaiah says, "I saw him high and lifted up. His train filled the temple." And all of a sudden, he says, "I fell down as what? Dead." Folks, we need to put God in proper perspective. See, it helps us in the here and now. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13, he says this, "Rejoice, inasmuch as we are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be" what? "Shall be revealed, we may be glad also with exceeding joy." See, we need to get a picture. He's not on a man, some artist rendition. That's not Jesus. Jesus is in heaven. He's King of kings and Lord of lords, and his train fills the temple. He's the one that was transfigured. He was the one that was crucified. He's the one that was resurrected. He's the one that's in the throne room of heaven right now, waiting to come back. That should help us in the here and now. We need to honor and respect Christ as eternal God. I'll close with this verse, this passage. In Psalm chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, the psalmist writes this: stand in awe. You know, we sing how great thou art. We probably don't sing it enough. We need to understand how great Jesus really is. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. You know something? That talks about a daily walk with Christ from the beginning to the end of the day. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. See, we need to put our trust in the Lord. Tonight, we're not going to have an invitation. Tonight, I want us to think about the glory of God. We're going to sing Revelation song in dismissal tonight. And I want, this is what John sees. This is who we've been saved by. He's our Savior. He's our God. He's our Lord. Let's stand.